I feel like I said this year last year, or 2 years ago. What? So you can tell me if I said anything wrong. Right. If I said anything wrong this time. But the problem is that it's good to review and to refresh. So some of the things will sound very familiar. Maybe one or two points to clarify which you didn't get to other times. You could try and go through the process of preparing the kitchen for Pesach. And there was this beautiful flyer that they put out that was gorgeous kitchen. If you keep everything the way you're supposed to, you get the kitchen. We'll put you in the raffle to get the kitchen. I was wondering if I get the kitchen because I said this year. Other years we started with the easier ones first. Let's maybe start with the harder ones first, and we'll get to the easier ones at the end. So the three, probably your three biggest areas that you're focusing on, the challenges, is going to be your sink. It's going to be your the range top and the oven, right? Those are the three things. Those are the names, right? Range top is the top. Things on top, right? That's called the range top, right? Okay, and the oven. So then we'll go to the countertops, and then we'll go to the refrigerator, tables, etc. Okay. Now we'll talk about the telephone in your kitchen. It's chum, it's gomer. I think any lady uses a telephone in the kitchen, it's chum, you have to get a different one for Pesach. Okay. So the sink, if it's a enamel covered sink or porcelain sink, so it can't be kashered. You would wash it out from any chametz which is potentially particles of chametz which are there. A, B, you should cover it over in such a way that you're not going to have any direct contact between the pot food and the sink itself. Preferably, there shouldn't be any contact between the water and the sink itself. So, if you could put a contact paper which is waterproof, so that would accomplish that purpose. Alternatively, you have everything raised up either with a rack or with a basin. Thank you. So therefore, there won't be any contact between the water and the your kalim. You should, even so, there is potentially chometz down the drain, which has been washed down there. And if any time over Pesach you have a backup of the water coming up, or if the water is just sitting there, so that water's in there, it means there's water down the drain, connecting with the water up above. Halachically, it's not going to answer if that happens, but the chachila, you don't want to have that situation. So you put some type of a cleaner down there, which would make any chometz which is there pogum. So that's not that. This way, you will not have any concerns of that situation. So we can put some type of a cleaner down the drain, and then kasher, then do the rest of the sink. That's assuming that the sink is enamel. If the sink is metal, stainless steel, metal, so you can kasher it. The first thing for kashering, you have to know that it has to be 24 hours with no water, which is yatzah lettuce, well, hot water. The best thing to do for that probably is either right after Pesach, right after Shabbos, if you want to wait till then to kasher, so you haven't used hot water for 24 hours, or turn off the hot water valve, so you will not by mistake use hot water in your sink, and then say, oh, I don't have the 24 hours, what do I do? In a case where a person did not do that, and they did use hot water, and it's now less than, and then it's close enough to pay, so they're not going to get a chance to wait 24 hours before koshering the sink. There are some etzes, so at that point in time, it's not like they haven't lost any hope. You can call the rav at that point in time and ask and discuss what to do with that situation. But there are some etzes at that point in time, so I'm not saying it's impossible. But we do not kosher the chaskila, we're not going to kosher without 24 hours without hot water. Okay. Again, you want to address any potential chomet which is down the drain by putting some type of a cleaner down there and take care of that. Now, you're going to kosher the sink. So, there's the sink itself, and then there's also the faucet and the handles, etc. You need to kosher all of that. Anytime we do the process of koshering, so we wait 24 hours. Anytime you're koshering something, you wait 24 hours. So that we've done. We need to use water, which is, we're going to do hagala, we're going to do iri in this situation, we're going to pour hot water, it has to be boiling hot water, so you have, the water has to get to a boil. The kli which you use, the kasher, can be either a clean chametz sticker kli, or a clean paste of the kli, doesn't make a difference. And it has to get to the point that it's boiling. Now, when you want to do iri on the sink, you have to do iri that you can't rely on runoff. It means any spot in the sink you want to kasher, there has to be direct pouring from your pot onto that spot. So I'm pouring, and now I'm pouring here, and the water is running off. Oh, I covered all of that right now. That wasn't a direct hit. It has to be a direct hit from the pot onto that spot. So you're going to end up using more than one tea kettle's worth of water to accomplish that. So you have a few tea kettles. I walked in one woman's house before Pesach, or a week before Pesach. And she had four tea kettles going. I said, oh, you're kashering the sink. She said, how'd you know? Yes.
But there's the vertical part of your sink.
I'm going to get there.
Okay.
So if you do one part, it's okay if you wait 10 minutes for the next part?
You can do, any time we do hagol, you can do hagol in pieces.
Okay.
That's really relevant. If your person's middle of the year, the person traped up a pot, traped up a spoon. Straight to the pot, I can't fit the whole pot in my big pot at the same time. I can do half and then another half. That's different than Tevilas Kalim. When you tevil a Kali, new Kali, that has to be everything at one shot. You can't do half the Kali and then have the other half of the Kali. It has to be everything at one shot. For Hagola, you can do them in pieces. When you do Hagola, the surface that you're doing has to be dry. So here's a situation. So you're going to do half of your sink. So obviously the other half is going to get wet. So before you do the other half, it has to be dry. The part you've done, you've done. The part you haven't done, you have to start with a dry surface.
Can I have a question on that?
What?
Can I have a question on that?
Yeah.
Any part that you haven't done yet will get splashed by something else.
So if it's, as long as it's all that one flow, it's not a problem. When you're stopped and say, okay, well, I'm going to put this tea kettle down and come to the other one, so I'm not in the middle of kashering that area, so then I have a problem. Okay. The sides also have to be kashered, and so that's a little more challenging to do the sides, but the correct way to do the sides is you go down across, but going down each one of the sides. We work from the top to the bottom. So you would kasher the sides before you do the bottom. And then obviously by the time you get to the bottom, you're going to have to dry it off. And then once you're finished with the whole thing, you rinse it with cold water. You should pour cold water over the whole area, which has been kashered. Or you could do it after each section that you've done. You should rinse it with cold water. You might have heard some people talk about the idea of using a hot stone. It's not required. It's preferred in halacha to use a hot stone. It's not required. It's only relevant for the bottom. It's not relevant for the sides. There's no halachic need for that for the sides. It's only relevant for the bottom. Person wants to do that, so it reheats the water in case there's any loss of heat. You have this hot stone which has been heated on the fire. You hold it with the tongs, and you pour the water as you're doing it over that hot stone, and then from there it hits the sink. A little bit challenging. I bought some carriage bolts from Home Depot. They're like a real big, not you know, the real big bolts like this long and about that thick. You put a few of them on the burner. They get quite hot, and then you just use the tongs and pliers really, long handle pliers, and you just do that. It's quite effective, like a lot of sizzling. A lot very exciting. Okay, so. Then you have to.
You're saying an electric burner.
I do an electric. You can do it on a gas burner also. Same thing. Yeah. You leave it for too long, it starts to melt and it attaches to your burner. So just be aware of that. You don't have to do it. It's a mile and it's not required in a law. Fine. You have to do the faucet. You want to do the faucet. You have to pour over the whole faucet. And at this point in time, it's been 24 hours. You could turn the hot water on, and it's good to run the hot water inside also. So while you're pouring on the outside, you're kashering from the inside also with the hot water, which is coming from the boiler. You should
That's done last, after the sink?
Theoretically, it could be done, it could be, I would think it should be done really, it should be done first.
But then you're pouring hot water in the sink before you kosher, does that matter?
Once it's been 24 hours, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
And the handles also should be, you know, the handles, you never have real heat, but they should definitely be clean, and we, Ramah says we prefer in halacha to kosher them also. So you should kosher the handles also. The same way we work from the top down, if you have countertops which are kosherable, if you have granite or marble countertops, you do the countertops and you have the water running off into the sink, so you do the countertop and have the water run off into the sink before you do the sink. And then you'll do the sink afterwards. If somebody has that situation. Let's talk about countertops, just want to point out that's the order.
Quick thing.
Yeah.
You have four mica countertops. So when you're koshering the sink, and you can't really kosher the four mica, how are you keeping the four mica, which is chumitzdik and not kosherable, from affecting what you're doing on the sink that's right by it?
Assuming that you have not put anything hot on your four mica, probably in general, or alternatively in the last 24 hours... So even if there would theoretically some water would hit a spot on the formica and then afterwards hit the sink, it won't affect it. So the main thing that we can't kosher formica means that you shouldn't be putting any hot pots on Pesach on the formica itself, because it's not going to affect the sink. Okay, so that's the sink. Once you mentioned countertops, I'll just finish up with countertops. So. Granite or marble are kosherable. Stainless steel, obviously, you know, these commercial kitchens, they have stainless steel, that's kosherable. Formica, etc., those things are not kosherable. Silestone is not kosherable either, even though it looks like granite, and it looks like marble, and they tell you it's better than marble, and it is better than marble because it has bacterial, antibacterial stuff, etc., that's true, but there's a resin in there which holds it together. And that resin, it's not just rock, it's made out of quartz, together with a resin. The resin is not kosherable, so you can't kosher silestone. So a person thinking of getting a new kitchen for themselves, they will sell you silestone, and I'm not telling you what to do, but if you want to get kosherable ones, get granite or marble. Even the granite or marble, sometimes they tell you that you can seal it. Put a sealant on, which it doesn't. This way, the color doesn't get affected, etc. That makes it not kosherable. So, if you have that situation, so if you're assuming that you're one of us plebeians and you don't have the granite or the marble, so you want to clean those areas off well, and then you cover them, and that is sufficient. If you do have those, which you can kosher. So the koshering process would be the same koshering process you're doing for the sink. You're going to be using a tea kettle, hot water to pour on it, and that's going to kosher it. And again, the same process. You have to do piece by piece the whole thing. Yes.
The wall around the counter, does that have to be covered?
The backsplash?
Yeah. I mean, if it's just wall, if you don't actually have tiles or anything like that.
I think the area which is right next to the sink, I think it makes sense. There are times when something splashes there. I think it makes sense to wash it off and cover it. The rest of it, you know,
so as like long, on like the regular counter, don't have to worry about it.
I don't think so. Again, you know, the question is, you know, if you have a little bit of extra something to put there, do you want a situation where your pot by mistake pushed against the wall? You know, you don't want that. You know, if it happens, is it going to ask? But yeah, but probably not. Some of the area is clean, the area is dry. Second, what do you mean if there's a little bit of liquid there? You got a headache. So, like, why not cover it? It's only for 8 days. The covering has to be something. There's another way you can kosher. You can kosher the granite or the stone countertop. You can kosher it. Somebody asked me, can you kosher with steam? They have these steamers, they get quite very hot. You cannot kasher with steam. We don't know that steam has the ability to pull out the same way actual water sitting there does. But what a person can do is they can make a frame around the countertop, fill it with water, and use the steamer to heat the water and get the water to boil, and then you could accomplish the same thing. So that's theoretically an option, which is actually commonly used in commercial kitchens. The kasher for Pesach, that's one of the things that they do, is they use that process. Because like, then you start pouring water, like with this, you know, how many tea kettles are you going to use? Like, you know, so they fill the whole thing up and they heat it up with steam. Okay. The oven. So again, our 24-hour rule is going to apply, that we're going to make sure there's 24 hours which you have not used the oven. If you have an oven which is self-cleaning, so the self-cleaning process will take care of the racks and the walls of the oven. The door and the gaskets are still a problem. The door does not get the same heat as the rest of it. The door really should be cleaned well, and it should be covered on the inside, so there's no interaction between the door and the rest of the oven.
What do you have in your
life? Foil.
Just tape foil on?
Tape foil on.
I mean, like, put it right, okay.
Like, layer before. I do suggest that since you're using a lot of foil, it's kedai that you should buy stock in Alcoa. This at least you feel a little bit better when you use all that foil over paste. At least you're getting some dividends back. Okay. The gasket also should be cleaned well. The glass gasket around the door, etc. That's an area. That thing which keeps the heat in around the door. Let's use a rubber. It's actually it's a fabric type of thing filled with. I'm sorry.
So just clean it well.
Clean it well, right?
Well, run it the oven.
Right now, there are chances. You know, let me take a break for a moment. We clean for Pesach for two reasons. We clean for Pesach for two reasons. We clean for Pesach anywhere in the house. You're cleaning when you are cleaning. It's not spring cleaning. You're not trying to just, you know, but you're cleaning because there's a concern. We can't own chametz in our property over Pesach. And I can't have chametz in my kelim over Pesach. So my oven, like any other part of the house, has that halacha. So whatever's any chametz is in the actual body of the oven, and I turn that oven on to self-clean, it's not chametz anymore, it's ash. If there's particles of chametz under the gasket, that's particles of chametz. They're not going to get burnt. On the other hand, there's another reason why we clean in the kitchen is because we can't have any contact with the chametz and our Pesach food. So even if I have a minimal amount of chametz, which halachically would not be a problem in regards to owning it, but I don't want that chametz getting into my food. So that's the cleaning which we're doing in the kitchen. So under the gasket, am I worried about that maybe there's a little particle of chametz that's going to pop out in the middle of Pesach and walk over to my food and drop it into my food? Probably not. But potentially, if you know that there might be something under there, you should definitely take a look under there. Is there any crumbs there? And, you know, get rid of those crumbs. The same thing in the little corners of the front of the oven, which is not, you know, but where the door closes, they don't get that same type of heat. So if there are crumbs there, you should remove those crumbs.
Spills and things like that. To be...
Spills in the actual body of the oven. If it's self cleaning, it's just not a problem.
We don't have self cleaning.
What? Well, we'll get to non self clean. Okay.
Can I ask a question about the self clean? I'm sorry. Do you wait 24 hours and then self clean, or self clean and then wait 24 hours?
Actually, self cleaning. Anytime you're waiting, you're waiting 24 hours before you kasher.
Okay, that's considered the kashering part. If you have a self clean.
Right. Now the truth is, self cleaning theoretically is you don't have to wait 24 hours. It's going to be machloikis, and therefore our minhag is to do it anyway. Again, in case a person was you have to do it, you know. Call up and ask the Rav, he might tell you it's mutter anyway.
So don't use it for 24 hours and then self-clean it.
Right.
When you do the 24-hour thing, isn't it clean beforehand? When you're waiting 24 hours with whatever you're clean, with whether you're kashering, don't you have it clean before the 24 hours?
Okay. When I'm going to self-clean the oven, so self-cleaning, according to many opinions, is better than hagol. It's actually leave, it's burning everything out. So there's no need to clean it. If I'm going to burn it all to ash, I don't have to clean it beforehand.
Okay.
In general, when I say that, when I say a person comes to me, they trafed up, you know, middle of the year, the person they trafed up, they put their fleshing a spoon in their milk in a pot, and they stirred it, you know, say, have to kosher the spoon, the pot, whatever the situation is. So I say, wash that off with, you don't want the food sitting, the trefa item sitting on the food, on the ladle, so wash up the ladle with cold water, wait 24 hours, and then you can kosher it. Because you don't want it, you don't want to be sitting there, but the situation over here, whatever's there is there. You know, that's it's been there for 2 months already. That's not more of our concern. Okay. What about a case a person does not have a self-cleaning oven? So what can we do? Or even a self-cleaning oven. So self-cleaning will work for the oven part. If a person has a broiler, broiler is more challenging. If the person ever... Now, the person never broiled anything, which would be a concern of a comments. They've used just plain meat, which is etc. But they never broiled something which has comments in it. So that's going to need that area. Well, self cleaning alone will not be sufficient. It'll be machlokes. So it's better not to do that. But you can kosher the oven without koshering the broiler. The broiler part, you just make sure that it's clean, and you won't use it over Pesach. But make sure that it's clean, and you can kosher the oven part. The oven, it's a non self cleaning oven, so you can use some type of an oven cleaner and clean it out, and then wait 24 hours. Again, you want to be aware of the under the gasket, all those type of things, etc. Then, if you clean it with some type of an oven cleaner, easy off, whatever. If you find something which is which seems to be a problematic spot, there's some staining, there's something there, and you do it once, it doesn't come off. If that's a specific spot, you try a second time, it doesn't come off, don't worry about it. Set it on the highest setting for 1 hour, and the oven is usable for Pesach. The only thing is, the racks, you should make sure there's no contact between you should cover the racks. Now you want the racks. You want the heat there, but ultimately you can put holes down. We should cover it with foil, and any pot you're putting on the racks, the racks are more problematic than the rest of the oven because there's direct contact during the year between your pots, and maybe there's an overflow of chametz or something directly onto the rack. So you don't want contact between your racks and your pots on Pesach, and you would cover that. But the rest of the oven is good to go. We're just setting at the highest setting for 1 hour. Yes.
A couple questions. First of all. Is there a difference whether it's like a gas oven or an electric oven or anything?
No difference.
Okay, so whatever it is, even if it's gas, I just put it on for 1 hour at the highest.
Right.
Okay, also another question is, with the oven cleaner, like I know the easy off is probably the most effective, but if I don't want to use that toxic stuff, like is it okay to use...
Anything's fine.
Anything?
Anything which would make it that... any food which is there is not going to be... would lose its edible status, theoretically.
So, meaning it needs to be like a chemical that would help me? Can I use like baking soda and vinegar or whatever, something like that? Or
I think so.
Okay. And one more question.
Yeah.
So when I kosher the oven, I put it on for 1 hour, I do that with the rack still inside?
Correct.
Okay, so it's not a problem that like the part that the tiny... area of the rack is sitting on.
That will not be a problem, correct.
Okay, and then after you do that, then you cover the rack.
Correct.
Okay,
thank you.
One cover.
I'm sorry? One layer is enough. Make sure the one layer is enough, yeah. The chances are of liquid getting there beneath it and becoming a problem are minimal, so... again, the oven door should be covered. You have the same issue with the oven door. You should cover the oven door with foil. Yes?
You always have to cover the rack, even if you're just self-cleaning
the
oven?
No.
Oh, sorry, I just...
Okay. Yes?
With a non-self-cleaning oven, it goes to 500 and then it's supposed to go up to grill, but my oven doesn't work, it just goes up to 500, so that's enough.
Even 500, you put it in 500 for an hour, it just should be fine.
And the racks, I'm easy off them as well, but they should still be covered.
I would still think they should be covered, yeah.
Inside
the door should be covered with foil.
Even if I easy off that also?
That's an interesting question. If you easy off the inside of the door. And the glass also? Can you easy off the glass?
Yeah, easy off
everything. So theoretically, if you would do that, I think it should be okay.
Is that also? Can we also do that for self-cleaning?
You could, yeah.
So,
you
easy
don't
off
have to cover the door.
If you would easy off it, right, I think it should be fine, yeah.
Yeah, because the door doesn't get
clean.
So you
can
do the door only.
Okay. For the range top, so the grates themselves have to be kashered. If you have a self-cleaning oven, so you can take the... If it's gas range top, so you have these removable grates, so you can put the grates into the oven while you self-clean the oven, and that'll kasher your grates. If you have electric range top, you just set it to the highest setting. It'll after 2 or 3 minutes, it gets red hot. That kashers the burner part of it. Besides that, you have the drip pan and the bibs. Where those to me, they thought they're the same thing, but apparently they're different things. And then you have the area in between the burners, which you have to be aware of. Some of the fancier ones, like the whole area has these grates, so there's no time you're going to be having any pot that's going to be on any surface other than the grates. The grates have been kashered, and shalom yisrael. If you have area in between, or even under the grates, the grates, there is the area which the drip pan, etc. You should clean it and clean it well and cover it, or just put new bib pans for peso. Yeah.
Grates, when you put them in the oven,
yeah,
they create an even hotter part in the oven, and it can burn out your oven. And we are renting, and
okay,
I don't want to break my landlord's oven.
Okay.
Is there another way to clean, to kosher the grates, rather than putting them in the oven while you're self-cleaning?
Right, so if you don't have a self-cleaning oven, or you, let's say we've done it for years, we never had any problem with it. So I can't tell you. I've checked the science on it if it's a problem or not. What you can do is if it's a gas range top, what you can do is you can create a tent from heavy duty foil and put a tent over one burner at a time. Don't do all four at the same time. You will burn out your kitchen, and give it space so there's air space. Turn it on, and that keeps the heat in, and that'll kosher the grate. Do them one at a time.
I grew up when we double layer foil around the sink. I mean, around the stove by the
right.
Are you saying that it's really not necessary? Does it make a difference if you do it once or do it twice? Like, you're saying that as long as you clean it very well, that...
I didn't get to that part yet. What to do?
What was the bib and bib pan?
Underneath the grate. So there's no chance of really direct contact with it, because something might fall there and catch. So you clean it out well and you cover it, or alternatively, you can, put new ones in over there that you can do. That's because there's no direct contact. I don't think so. It's cleaned well, and then you can cover it. Because there's the chances of connection between the food and your pot, and that it's quite a distance over there. The surface in between where you're going to be putting pots down or putting something down, that's a much more of a challenging area. I would suggest two layers of foil, heavy duty foil, between. Behind the range top, the backsplash behind the range top, I would suggest that the area which has to be covered. So that's if you have some of these fancier types of ones, which are like the glass ones.
Yep.
Right. I heard that yep over there. So not all of them are created equal. So it depends what you have. Some of them are created with the area which is directly above the burner. The burner gets red hot, and that area is directly... That area can be koshered out by just cleaning it off well and turning on the burner. That area will be koshered, which is directly above the burner. In between will not be koshered by doing that. So in between becomes a very big headache. Why? Because theoretically, you're going to be putting pots there, your pots will be touching there. So if you have a large pot which sits expands a little bit over the area of the burner, the, you know, you only have four burners, you have a large pot going, you want to put it there, that you should not have that touching. It should be covered. The problem is they tell you, the manufacturer tells you, if you cover that area, it'll keep the heat in and it'll crack the glass. So you don't want to crack your glass, right? So it's a headache. The best thing to do is to use some type of trivets in that area. So that it won't, you clean it well and then put a trivet there. So not, you know, so anytime there's a pot in the hotel, there will be sitting on a trivet, not on the actual surface. Am I making sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. The rest of the kitchen. So a refrigerator, the should be thoroughly cleaned out well. The truth is, I mean, we all have a minute ago, you know, our mother lined it, our bubby lined it, our alta bubby didn't have a refrigerator, but you know, if she would have lined it also, right? Make your idea, if it's cleaned well, doesn't need a lining. If it's cold, it's clean. The reason why we lined it is because we're always afraid maybe we didn't clean it well. You know, there's some little particles which are lodged there. Do you have to make some mashuga? You know, Schomburg, I think, said in Nusach many years ago, he said, pins are usser. You know, like there's people that sit there with little pins scraping out the you know, right? Yeah, pins are usser. So, you know, you don't think something crazy. Again, there's two reasons why we clean. We clean, one, because any keli which holds chometz, if the total aggregate amount of chometz is the size, which is problematic, the kazayas, it's usser to do that. So my refrigerator is a big kli. So if there's an aggregate amount of a kazayas worth of chometz in there, I have a problem about your yomotze. Forget about eating. Right. So the answer is, chances are that you don't have an aggregate amount of that. Whether you clean it well, you're not going to have that. Right. Now you have another issue. Well, some of this gets into my food. Right. Which is, chometz on Pesach, eating is also b'mashu. Even my minute amount, a small, very small amount, is going to be also to eat. Is that going to happen? So you're not eating directly off of the shelf. Right, so that's why I'm saying lining mikra is not necessary, but the minute is the line, there's nothing wrong with lining it, and enjoy your lining. Okay. Microwaves. I am not a big fan of kashering microwaves. There is discussions of how to kasher microwaves. One area which concerns me is that it usually is not taken into consideration. Is there's a fan in a microwave, and the fan has a grate in front of it, and particles and zay and all these wonderful things go into that area of the fan, like goes everywhere else in there, and you can look in there, something you can see gunk in there. There's no way you can kasher that, get that thing to take it out. So while you clean the, you know, clean the microwave out well, and how do you clean the microwave well? You can get the whole surface, the whole walls, everything. You can't get into that. It's sealed, and if you seal it, you avoid your warranty because you're exposing yourself to radiation danger. So you're not going to open that up unless you're a bona fide technician. So theoretically, if a person would want to kosher a microwave, let's say for the whole year for Pesach, you have to get some type of a cleanser which would make everything there pogum and spray it in there. Besides cleaning everything out, making sure it's totally clean. So you would have to spray in there, make sure everything there is pogum, and then you let it's clean, don't use it for 24 hours, and then you can kosher it. But even with that alone, Pesach, we don't rely on pogum. For the rest of the year, we rely on pogum. For Pesach, we don't rely on pogum. So a person tells me they have no other way to cook food, there are coolers. Otherwise, my suggestion is if a person should not kosher their microwave for Pesach. A person wants to kosher a microwave for the rest of the year. So you can be pogamid, take something which will make any food of there which is still edible, would make it inedible. So you take care of that. The best way to kosher a mushroom is it's all held. The way you kosher it is based on the principle of Kabbalah, kach poltoi, is that... take a cup of a bowl of water, put it in there, put it on the highest setting, let it go for 10 minutes. So it boils out, and the steam goes through the whole thing. Again, you cleaned it out well, There's nothing on any surface which is actual item which is there. Any food stuff which is there. You're putting it inside the area where the fan is, and then you boil it to high setting till all the water boil. You know, for 10 minutes. Not everybody agrees you can do that. Ramesh doesn't tell how you could do that, so a person needs to do that. There is what to be said with him to do that. The Ramesh was a big person. There are some other sheets that were more machmer on how to do it, which is probably not practical. Okay. The cabinets and the closets, etc., you wash them out well. You know, if anything is spilled there, you know, clean it out, make sure there's nothing spilled there, put a lining on it, and you're good to go. Instant hot dispenser. Person has instant hot. Can they kasher instant hot for Pesach? The answer is they could. You could kasher instant hot for Pesach. You want to clean and make sure that's clean. Is that even the inside of where the dispenser is? Sometimes little particles get in there. You want to make sure that's clean. You get on there a little bit, clean that out. Don't use it for 24 hours, and then you would pour boiling hot water over the unit, and then run it from the inside at the same time, and that'll kasher it out. If you have an oven hood, yes.
Is that an urn?
I'm talking about the instant hot dispensers. They have the instant hot, you know, by the sink. You turn the, you know.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Not in your apartment. Yeah.
Not
in my house.
Like
not in my house either. Not in my house either. Okay.
What about some people have like a little soap dispenser, like mine, stainless steel, that's right off of the sink? Is that, I clean that? Can I use that on Pesach, or is that a problem to you?
Theoretically, it would be the same thing. I would suggest kashering it just because you don't
like
know what's absorbed, right?
Pour hot water over it.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, the soap inside. What if the soap inside? I was thinking the soap inside that I'm using during the year is not kosher Pesach.
Why not?
For dishes,
don't you have to get kosher Pesach soap? You don't have to?
You should get kosher Pesach soap for dishes.
For Pesach. What I'm saying is I don't use that during the year in my soap dispenser.
You sure? Because what was it?
A lot of them really are kosher Pesach.
Do you look
at the list and see what you use.
Dawn is good all year. Pamela is good
all
year.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Sorry, what?
Maybe it came to me when you already did it, but the spray in the sink?
The spray in the sink, I would just cover and not use. It's not really. It's made out of plastic. It's not really kosher. We don't kosher plastic for Pesach.
If it was made from metal, you could use something
like that. If you use it made from metal, you could make sure that it's really cleaned out well. Which is that there you need pins, so you know to get because the stuff gets lodged in the little holes.
The handle or the what?
A sprayer thing.
You have like
a pull-out sprayer.
Pull-out sprayer. I would just not using them for. Okay, tablecloths, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're living in a generation which we can afford to have Pesach tablecloths as opposed to using those. You can make it in a person wants to take a towel, to take an apron, throw it into the wash with hot water. Usually, most women do not wash their things in hot water necessarily because it's not good for the item. For this, you would use hot water and detergent. And it has to be agitated, which is another. You make sure that you agitate it. Well, that's what washing machines do. They do that very well. So that would make it kosher the Pesach. Rings, person's woman's rings. So I would suggest that you should clean them out well, and not wear them while you're mixing up some food stuff. You know, for Pesach, don't be wearing your rings because there's little lot. Especially if you wear your rings normally in the kitchen, etc., there's a chance that there's stuff in there which, if you're really good, so you can convince your husband, he should take it to the jeweler and they can actually clean it before Pesach. They can do a real cleaning for you, and that's very nice. He'll do you a chesed.
Just for Pesach.
They can buy you in the jeweler for Pesach. That's also good. That's, you know, of course.
If you go swimming in like a pool with like chlorine, would that do it?
Theoretically, I don't know the level of chlorine in there is enough to make it pogrom. I don't know. I wouldn't tell you to eat it afterwards, but you know. But right. The other areas of the kitchen, let's say, we've dealt with the issue of foodstuffs and how to make this usable for foodstuffs. We have the other area of the kitchen, which is we have the halachas of Bayor Bayamotz. I can't maintain chametz over Pesach, so I have to take my chametz to Kekalim and do something with them. So what do I have to do with my chametz and kekelim? So you do not want any ban on your chametz. It's assuming that you're storing your plates. Your plates are clean, hopefully. Your pots are clean. And you mark. You should mark off, you know, wherever you're storing them. You should mark off as a reminder that is an area, something which is chametz that you will come to use it on Pesach. One of the questions which is a more common issue is a person has a mixer. And so the mixer, you're using it with dough, etc., different things. It's impossible that there's not going to be some chametz inside the machinery itself. So how crazy do you have to make yourself? We're not talking about kashering for Pesach. You're not kashering for Pesach. You're putting it away. So the issue over here is that there can't be an aggregate amount of chametz inside there, which is problematic because of the problem of only chametz and Pesach. Anything which is not totally not accessible, you're never going to get to it. You know, it gets lodged inside there in such a way it's not coming out. You're not concerned about that. The same way, if I have a very heavy piece of furniture which I never move, I'm not mechuyev to move it for Pesach to check maybe there's chametz under there. Even if there is chametz under there, but I never move it. We'll get to behind the refrigerators in a second. So theoretically, in the mixer, this is not under it, it's in it, but it's never coming out. So anything which is totally inside there, I don't have to worry about. You know, so you just clean the outside surface. Anything which you can see, you know, you could wash out and remove anything which is on there, put it away, and you're good to go. We do sell because of this concern. Maybe there is possibly didn't get it, etc. The language of the shtar of Mechiras Chometz says that we sell besides the actual. We're selling the person selling their whiskey and their whatever it is. They also sell any chametz in any of the kelim that is included in the language of the shtar. So just in case we're covering our bases, so that's been sold to the goy. It's not our chametz. So even if there is something in there, would be a problem. It's not our chametz. We don't sell actual kelim because then we'd have to tevel them after Pesach, and that would be quite challenging. After Pesach, I can't cook anything yet. I have to go tevel my kelim in my kitchen. So you don't sell the actual kelim. But we sell the chametz in the kelim. Now, regards to cleaning, the kelim, they're clean, they're put away, they're marked off, etc. The actual room, the table, you want to wash the table off well and cover it. One area which is, if you have a table which has leaves, or the table which is made out of two parts, chametz is very common that chametz gets lodged in there, unless you're always using a tablecloth. There's always something in there. That should be scraped down before you cover it. Because there might be some actual chametz, depending on your kids. If you have little kids, for sure, that's an exciting place to stick things. Everything in the house is an exciting place to stick things if you're a little child. And then you would cover that with preferably a waterproof layer, so there's not ever going to be any contact between the table and anything you have on Pesach.
So two covers, really, then. There's a cover and then the actual tablecloth on top?
Right, you could put the covering...
Like plastic?
The cover can be put... You could put one... You would put a plastic covering, which is waterproof, that's enough.
And then...
Then you can put your paste on the table on top.
Heat transfer.
There's no transfer flavor unless there's liquid. So if it's totally waterproof, there's no transfer. Yeah, once you have plastic, then you're fine.
So why do you have to remove this stuff that's between
them? Because we don't want to have, again, it's the other problem. I don't want to have anything which is banned on my kelim. I don't want to have actual chametz there. The amount of chametz which we're concerned with in halacha that we need to remove is the size of a Cheerio. So when you're looking cleaning for Pesach, not in the kitchen where any particles are a problem, not in my sink. You know, I'm talking about anywhere else in the house. The level of cleaning which I'm doing for Pesach is I have to be... Let me start the sentence again. The reason why we clean for Pesach is in halacha. We do bedikah. Why are we cleaning? So the Ramos says we clean for Pesach. This when we do the bedikah, it'll be easier to do the bedikah because you can find what you have to find. We don't clean to clean. We clean to facilitate a bedikah. That's not a very difficult... That's not a very heavy-duty cleaning. So in that process of cleaning, so what you're looking for is anything the size of a Cheerio and larger. So if I had a little speck of chametz, somewhere, halachically, that's not going to be a problem. If I'm not eating it, it's not an area which I'm eating, so I don't have to worry about it. If I find it on my table, which might get into my food, or on my chair, which is right next to where I eat, so I'd be a little more, a little more concerned.
What I'm saying is, if you cover the table and the cover's never taken off the entire peso, you have a cloth, and on top of that you have a plastic, and it's just there for the entire peso. You're never going to see what's there. Is that like not moving a heavy piece of furniture?
No, so over there, there is an item potentially. Let's say there's some dough stuck on the bottom of the table. I have dough. I have chametz on my table. So I have the other problem. I have the problem by yiro by yomotze. I can't own chametz and pesach.
No, I mean, like between leaves, that stuff is like stuck there forever.
So the stuff which is stuck there forever and it's not edible. It's not considered. It's not it's not fit for animal consumption. Is not a problem. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's something which would be with a little more useful. What I do is I just open it up and take a little scraper and just scrape it off. And it takes about half a minute. Okay. So then don't worry about it. Just cover it. Behind the refrigerator, if you never remove your refrigerator out, you're not going to remove your refrigerator out for Pesach. So even though there might be chametz under there, and who knows what rolled back there, don't want to know what rolled back there. But it's not a problem because you never pull it out. And once in a while you say, well, I got to be good about the bus, I have to clean it out. So then you have to clean out for Pesach also. Right? So the real good balabust is clean out for Pesach, and I guess other ones don't. That's the definition. If you do it the whole year, you're going to have to do it, once in a while you do pull it out, so you would pull it out for Pesach also. It rolls under your bookcase, and you're never moving your bookcase, so don't worry about it. That's something you're not moving. I never got back to hoods. I got sidetracked from the hoods. Right? If you have an oven hood, oven hoods are a challenging metzias, halachically. You cook milchiks, you cook fleishiks, you have this pot of macaroni and cheese bubbling up, putting up steam, and you have your pot of chicken soup putting up steam, and they're all mixing together in this hood above your. So if you're zeich enough that you can have this fancy kitchen and you have a milchaka area and a fleshika area, and you have separate hoods, but otherwise it's since it's open, I asked the rabbi to tell us this. Since it's the gap between where the pot is and the hood is significant enough, we say luckily the steam dissipates, we're not worried about the minimal amount which gets there. If you put a very large pot and it's right underneath there, you have a major halachic issue. Because there, the steam will go up, touch the hood, and possibly drop back down into your food. Condense and come back down into your food. And that could trafe your food. The same thing with for Pesach, theoretically, if you're doing such an item. Now, usually the gap is large enough, they're not worried about it. Again, if you're very large, the person's putting a 20 quart pot, 24 quart pot, you have a big crowd, the pots start getting very big, So, but otherwise, it's not an issue.
You cover the pot.
What you should do, if the pot is covered, it's fine, right? The practically, what you do is you want to clean that out area as well as you can. Again, whatever you can get out, you can wash out. You want to pogim whatever's left there. There's some, spray something in there. That's it. Run it once to get it, pull it into the system, get it out of your kitchen, whatever smell is. And then for Pesach, that's it. That's you have to do. Some people suggest covering it for Pesach, not using it, just so you don't have to deal with it. That area. And that's an interesting question in general. Even if I don't have a hood, if I have a cabin or something which juts out over my range top. So some people suggest cleaning off that area and covering it with foil, that area underneath. So because any steam which is going up there is not meeting any chametz because the steam which is there from beforehand. Okay. Thing I want to tell you. I'm going to share with you one moment, and I'm going to find the page. I'm not going to find the page, we'll try. Okay. The clear that you use, going back to, if a person's kosher anything for Pesach, a person wants to kosher, let's say, nowadays most people are not koshering too many items for Pesach, they basically have their own Pesach good things. So a person has a becher, a very special becher from his Alta Babi, and he wants to kosher it for Pesach. So there's nothing reason why he can't kosher that for Pesach. As long as it's clean, and there's no, it has to be clean, you don't want oxidation on there, you would, because that would block the Hagolah process. So rust that has to be removed. If there's rust, or over here, if there's tarnish, you remove the tarnish. You have to take off the silver polish. Also, has to be removed before you. 24 hours it hasn't been used with hot. Which you put it into the boiling hot water. Every spot has to be touched by the water. So if you don't want to drop it down to the bottom, you want to hold it with the tongs. So that spot wasn't touched by the water. So you'd have to move the tongs in such a way that spot is touched. The water has to be boiling, so therefore when you put it in, it has to go, sometimes the cold keli, when it goes in, reduces the boiling. You have to keep it in long enough that the water goes back to boil, remove it, rinse it under cold water, and you're done. We have a minig when we're going to kasher different things for Pesach, so the pot that we use to kasher should either be a Pesach like a pot, or a Chametz like a pot, which if you're going to use a chametz pot, which you could do, mikra adin, we have a minute to kasher it beforehand. Now, how do you kasher the pot? So, a person takes the pot, fills it up with hot water, or fills it up with water, I'm sorry, fills it up with water, 24 hours, hasn't been used, filled up with water, you can fill it with hot water for all I care, you can start with hot water, boil it up, and you're kashering the only problem is, you can't kasher the rim. So the eitz is to put something in there which will cause it to overflow. Now, you don't put something cold in because that's going to cool down the water. So you have to put something hot, like a hot. The suggestion in the halacha is you take a little, go outside, take a stone, wash it off well, clean it off well, put it on another burner, get it hot, take a tongs, drop it in. So it's not going to it'll boil over. That's how you can kasher. If it's a pesach pot, you want to do it with a pesach pot. That's fine. Our minig is the kasher. If you want to use the pot for Pesach, you have to kasher the pot. At the end, you have to kasher the pot. So either you're going to kasher the pot first, or you're going to kasher the pot second. You don't get it, unless you don't want to use the pot for Pesach, then you don't have to worry about it. So, but if you want to use that pot for Pesach, our minig is to kasher the pot. That is the minig. And you do the same process, and then after you're finished, pour the hot water out and rinse it off with cold water. We always rinse it off with cold water at the end of the process of kashering. Okay.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Did you say something about not dropping things to the bottom of the pot?
I said if you don't want to drop it to the bottom of the pot, if you say it's something which gets damaged, let's say it's silver, and you don't have to. You can let it drop to the bottom of the pot. Meanwhile, it dropped. It got. All of it was. I have to have space, but there was space when it went from the top of the water to the bottom. It was fine. And then you'll just have to get it out yourself. Yes.
The pot that you use for kashering, if you kashered it before putting in the other pots, you still have to kasher.
Yes.
Afterwards.
So you'll kasher twice in that situation.
But during
if you're going to use it for Pesach.
Right.
If you don't want to, if it's a chametz like a pot, you kashered it, then you put away your chametz things. You don't have to kasher it again.
So during the year, if you're using, it's always confusing. If you caked up a pot and you're kashering it by putting it into the big kashering pot. Afterwards, the big
kashering
pot is still kosher.
Yes, we don't have a minute to kasher during the year. Re-kasher afterwards. So, as long as they haven't used the 24 hours, the kashering pot and the item, so you don't have to kasher afterwards. They don't have to kasher the pot afterwards. One benefit if a person is doing that situation, the gender of the pot, milchus fleishig doesn't make a difference. So even if I have a fleishig spoon, I can kasher the milchus pot. As long as everything hasn't used 24 hours, everything is clean, I can use whatever, it doesn't make a difference in the gender. We don't kasher from milchus to fleishigs. When you kasher for Pesach, you can change it from milchus to fleishig. So if I have an item which is normally used for fleishig, and I'm kashering it for Pesach anyway, so I can change the item from, now I use it for the other thing. Yes?
I have a kashering pot at home that we use in general for kashering.
Right.
So I've never cooked in it before. So would that still
require the minute of kashering it beforehand?
Because it's never obviously boiled over. It's a huge pot.
No, so the reason why we do that is because we were always afraid there might be some spray which landed on the top of the rim. Mm-hmm. So that you're going to have, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the minhag applies in that situation also. That's an interesting question. I'm not sure. So theoretically, if a person has some silverware which they're kashering now, they want to use them for Pesach, so they could do that. They make sure it's clean. And there's no, you know, and then you could kasher it, and it was flaging silverware. You could make it milchuk for pay, and then you know, then it can be remain milchuk afterwards, or vice versa. But normally we don't kasher from one to the other because we're afraid in halacha that the guy says that's great. I'll own one set of silverware, use it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays for milchuk. Fridays I'll wait, I'll kasher for Shabbos, use it for flaging. Then Sunday I'll wait and I'll kasher for milchuk. I'll do it every single week. Well, 1 week you're going to forget, so we don't. You know, that's what, theoretically, if we allow you to do that, you're going to end up doing that, and then you're in trouble. Since you're cashing it for a different reason, anytime you're cashing for a different reason, we allow that. So actually, some person say, during the year, if it trafed up, it got trafed, you have to kasher it, then you want to, you could also do the same, because you're not cashing for the purpose of changing, you're cashing because you have to, it's trafed right now. So once you're cashing for another purpose, then you're allowed to switch it. And how common that is, how relevant that is, but that is something which would be okay. I think I covered everything I wanted to cover.
Quick question.
Yes.
What about a high chair?
I didn't want to cover the high chair. Yes,
I did.
Sorry. That was okay. that was something was written over here. Thank you.
That was a plant.
I guess so. So
I have the kind of thing where the baby eats right off of the...
Right, so my suggestion is wash it well and cover it with contact paper. That's for Pesach.
Oh.
And so okay. Then this way there's not going to be any direct contact between the food and the tray. Mm-hmm. And then you're good to go. Okay. And the same thing with regular chairs, just as a point out, talking about regular chairs, so you're not eating off of the chairs, but there is an area right next to the... You should wash them, you know, make sure they're clean and well, washed well. That little crumb over there is not what we're worried about. Yes?
Do you need a new broom for Pesach?
Do you need a new broom for Pesach? I think yes, simply because, not because of the eating issue. Well, theoretically, there's a lot of stuff in there. You know what you're putting out into your air, but you have a bayor bayamotze issue. I don't know what gets inside there. So theoretically, you could clean your broom from any chametz which is in there. But that's like... So I wouldn't want to have a chametz like a broom in the kitchen. Mikra, then probably you could get away with it. That's more... I would not be comfortable. I want to tell you, there's a mishabruas. What our Alta Babas used to do, mishabruas says there was a minute they used to scrape the walls. I actually remember, I know somebody who did this. So Mishabura says, you're going to laugh at them, like, yeah, that's crazy. He says, you should not laugh at them. There's a source for it in the Yerushalmi. Now, the reason why was actually because they used to whitewash the walls. The whitewash was made out of the paste, which is used for the whitewash, was starch. So theoretically, there's a reason why they did it. So that became Minig Yisrael. And Minig Yisrael's Kedoshim Klaisel, when it comes to Pesach, it's very machmer. That is the Minig. So we respect that, and we learn from it. So we should always... So, when it comes to Pesach, there's a language in this Pesachim of Krumah to Pesach. We're more machmer when it comes to Pesach. For various different reasons. So we have an option of getting a new broom. I was just getting a new broom. Yes?
What about the vacuum cleaner? So you empty it out, but do you have to clean out the inside if you don't have like a bag?
The bagless ones? Are you talking about
the bagless?
I would suggest opening up and looking, at least, you know, wiping it out. I don't know what particles are in there. You might have comments in there. Yeah. I mean, besides the fact that you empty it, just make, looking around, make sure there's nothing lodged anywhere. Yes. You had a question, Mrs. Goodman.
Yeah. What about, I think I just missed this when I came in, about the garbage disposal. Like, there's a...
I didn't speak about the garbage disposals. I didn't speak about dishwashers either, as a matter of fact. You can't kasher dishwashers for Pesach. Next. Don't ask me to kasher dishwashers the whole year, but for Pesach, don't do it. Garbage disposals. You know, I don't think about garbage disposals. Let's think about garbage disposals for a second.
You're putting the bleach down when you're running that would make it all go.
Yeah, they sell a cleaner specifically for garbage. They do.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but yeah. We broke our garbage disposal, and the new one came with like a sample, so. I don't know if you're bad at it, sure you find that.
What?
More deodorizer and anti.
I mean, I was just planning to bleach down the drain.
Yeah, like the Clorox and bleach is not good.
I imagine that should be good. The problem is maybe there's some chometz in there, so you can be pugging it.
I kind of think that, at least in my situation, the garbage disposal, I hardly use it.
Right.
And, but, like, if I bother to inspect there's stuff in there that for sure a dog would not want to eat.
Fine. So then if a dog wouldn't want to eat it, then we don't worry about it.
Okay.
Right, right. You know what? But now we're talking about that. The drainer in your sink. You'd want to get it. And the aerator on your faucet.
What's the aerator?
That little thing, the little thing that screws on top of the faucet. When you screw it off, the water flies all over the place. And it's like a little filter in the end of the faucet. Things splatter in there. So I would suggest you get new ones for Pesach. And the drain also, the drainer, you obviously get new ones for Pesach.
And what about if you have like a water filter that you use that's like connected to the faucet top?
I don't think it should be a problem.
Okay.
I don't think the filter is...
things spray up there, and my thing is made completely of plastic, that water filter thing.
But it goes into... then the water comes out through the faucet. It doesn't come out through the filter. I'm maybe picturing a different one. The water flows through the filter, comes back out to the end of the faucet. We're picturing a different thing, I guess. That's what I'm picturing.
No, that's
what it is. And so there's no chametz getting into the filter. The chametz is getting into the end of the faucet. So I just changed the aerator.
No, but there's another opening through the filter where the water comes out.
The water comes out through the filter itself?
Through the section that has the filter. There's a little knob that you turn on the mechanism. You can have it come out through the normal way,
right,
or you turn this knob and then the water gets forced through the filter.
And it comes out through the end of the filter?
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's interesting. I've never seen that. So maybe some chametz got in there. I don't know. I have this really... I'm picturing it, but I'm not picturing like what it looks like at the end. Is there something there which you would catch the water? Then I'd have to see it before.
There's nothing that catches it. It's already filtered inside this thing,
right?
And the water just comes out. It's like your regular faucet without the filter.
Without the aerator at the end. I would say just wash it out. If theoretically, if you just wash it out well, just clean it out well and wash it out well. Theoretically, it's plastic.
And cold water comes through there also.
You have a hot spray would hit there. Probably it's mutter. Again, the only concern would be if there would be something like some type of hot chometz which hit there, you'd have to kosher it, and you can't. We don't kosher plastic for Pesach. That's the only issue you would have theoretically. If only cold water goes through, you ever put hot water through there?
No, because you're not filtering hot water. Only
fits in the cold water.
But so water can splash up in it. Sure, hot steam.
Right. So, if it's only used, the derech is only used for cold, never used for hot. So then you could clean it out well, and that's it. That you wouldn't have to do. You wouldn't have to do more, because anything which is absorbed is not going to come out, because it only comes out through heat. There's no heat. So the chance of chametz spraying there, that's minimal. Probably make sure there'd be mutter. Do that, just clean out well. Theoretically, yes. The only concern you have with these type of things is we have a minute, we don't kosher sifters. Because you said that those type of things, they're so small that little things get lodged there. So you don't know what's lodged there. So I would assume that the aerator probably, it's not as a concern as a sifter. A sifter was made to put flour through it. So probably it's mutter. But if you have an option of getting another one, I would suggest getting another one. If not, so you can clean it out well, and then you can kosher it with hakol, and that'd be fine.